B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Now on the line with us, he does a phenomenal job. One of my favorite analysts out there right now from the NFL Network, Sean O'Hara. Like I said, NFL Network analyst. You can also follow him on Twitter at Sean O'Hara 60. That's Sean S-H-A-U-N. Sean O'Hara 60. Also, Thursday Night Football continues this week with Steelers Browns on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. Without further ado, Sean O'Hara. Sean, great to have you on, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, top of the morning to you. I appreciate the love. Now I got to live up to it, man.
No, in all seriousness, you do a great job, man.
I appreciate it. Everybody needs a hype man, and listen, it's an honor to be on and be chatting with my man Trey.
Yeah,
I used to watch a lot of film on my man putting people in body bags, throwing people out of the club, for wearing jeans, all that good stuff. So from one old lineman to another, man, I appreciate you and loved watching you play.
Thank you.
Let's talk some offensive line right now, because the Eagles just rewarded the best right guard in football, Brandon Brooks, with a fine new deal. What do you make of Brandon Brooks? Not only just his year as just a football player in an isolated season like this, but coming back from that injury factory and to get back to not only the level of play that we're used to seeing him at, but even surpassing that.
Yeah, Brandon Brooks has been a great story. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. Obviously, he was very open with some of the things that he's been dealing with personally, dealing with some anxiety issues too. So, you know, just a really easy guy to root for when you see the things and hear about the things he's overcome. But he's been one of the best guards in football. So it's not just about this year. I mean, last year he was the best right guard in football. I don't think he gave up a sack the entire year last year until week 16, you know, and it was just some scrub. So, you know, that's nothing worse than that. It was a garbage sack. I don't think he's given up a sack this year as well. So, listen, he's been doing it. He's been doing it well. To go LL Cool J on you, and I think he's got a sweet backseat of my Jeep now with that with that contract. I think it's great for Brandon Brooks to get paid, but I think also, you know, I appreciate Howie Roseman. When you have a player that's the best at what he does, and you reward him with that, there's a trickle down effect throughout the locker room, throughout the team. That, hey, look, we're going to take care of our own. And I think as a player, that means a lot. And I know the money and the contract is unbelievable and it's great, but just the indirect message of that we're going to take care of one of the guys who, as you mentioned, tore his Achilles last year and came back in 6 months, I think, he was back out on the field. You know, I think it's a great message to send to your entire team.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara of the NFL Network, looking down that offensive line, Jason Peters has missed the last three games. He hasn't started, at least, with a knee injury now. So Andre Diller's been getting the starts there the last 3 weeks at left tackle, their first-round pick from this past draft. Are you expecting Jason Peters back, or do you think they'll kind of be patient with him and maybe have him come back towards the end of the season?
Well, I think the way that Andre Diller's been playing, you don't have to rush him back, which is kind of a luxury. You know, I think obviously mentally I kind of go back to 2 years ago when JP was out and Halapaluli Vaitai stepped in and basically, you know, played the whole season. They won the Super Bowl with Vaitai. So, you know, I think Dillard has done a really good job. He's shown his athleticism. You know, the two things I had questions him coming out was, you know, how was he going to be in the run game? Because they didn't do it a lot when he was in college. And then number two, just, you know, what kind of dog is he? You know, I mean, is he a finesse guy? Is he a basketball player? Is he just boxing people out? So I've been pleasantly surprised with just kind of his ability to finish. You know, I'm sure Trey has broken down the film on him as well. My big thing with him right now is that he's just carrying his hands too low.
Yeah.
And I think, you got to be a boxer. You can't be a gunslinger. One of my former O-line coaches, Pat Flaherty, used to say it all the time.
Yeah,
his hands are down low, and he's shooting from down underneath. He's losing all his power.
Exactly. He's catching too much when he has the power rush.
Yeah, and that's what's getting him in trouble. I mean, he's so athletic, but you see him get beat by the spin move or that second move, and it's because he's catching, like you're saying, he's not punching. So he'll get better with that. I think that comes with confidence. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at the fact that the Eagles were able to slide up into the first round, they didn't have a first-round pick, be able to slide up and steal him just before the Texans, I think is going to you know, it's going to end up paying dividends over these next few years.
Sean, with the lack of production from the Eagles wide receivers, we've been calling for more of a running game, as Jordan Howard has proven to be a really, really good runner in this offense. My question to you is, can teams win and go far in the playoffs being a run-first offense in this pass-happy league?
Yeah, I think you can. You know, and I think Zach Ertz kind of makes up for some of that lack of production. You know, I think Alshon Jeffery leads the team right now, and what you got, 353 yards. You know, those numbers seem very low.
Yeah.
When you think about how many games they've played, but I think this offense over these last couple of weeks has really started to look like the Eagles' offense that 2 years ago won the Super Bowl. When it was LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, they had that thunder and lightning 1-2 punch. And now with Jordan Howard finishing runs and just punishing people, I mean, up in Buffalo, I mean, he was on a mission to end a couple of safeties' careers. And then to see him run through his former team a couple of weeks ago in Chicago with the Bears, you know, I mean, he looks like a man possessed right now. So that's a dangerous guy. Nobody wants to tackle him right now. And then with Miles Sanders, I think they've got that explosive running game that helps open up other things. And I think, you know, Deshaun Jackson, you know, going on IR definitely changes the way that people are going to defend you now. You know, maybe they can play a little more single high safety. I think Alshon Jeffery, if he catches the football, you know, which I think he's spent the whole bye week probably beating himself up about the fact that he can't believe he had three drops in that Bears game. I think you've got to have a motivated guy. I think Nelson Agholor is still one of the most dangerous slot receivers in the game right now. You know, when he's on point, man, he's a tough out.
I got to follow up right there. Speaking with Sean O'Hara, the NFL Network, he has put all our brains in a pretzel so far this year because the drops are a consistent problem. Not being able to track the ball is a consistent problem for him. What do you think could help a guy like him snap out of it?
You're talking about Agholor?
No, I'm not too worried about, but Nelson Agholor, because we've seen this same problem before. 2017 was the exception. We saw it rear its ugly head again last year, and now with a lack of options at the wide receiver position for Carson Wentz, Agholor has had opportunities to make some big plays and come up small.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for him, and, you know, I know he's kind of had that Featherstone moniker, you know, throughout his career, and, you know, look, it's just a concentration thing. You know, I think, you know, anytime as a player, when you've got something that keeps showing up week in and week out, like, you shouldn't leave the field until you've got to figure it out. You shouldn't leave the field until you catch 100 balls. And you know what? If you got to start catching them one-handed, do it. Whatever you got to do. You know, he's too talented of a player to let that be, you know, his legacy. And you know, I think you've seen them kind of get him involved early. You know, they're doing a lot of jet sweeps, kind of using them pre-snap to kind of draw some attention. And you know, I think they're trying to get him involved early on in the game because I think he's one of those streaky receivers. You get him going early, the confidence is boosted. All of a sudden, he becomes a menace to defenses. So I think that's kind of the way that you can kind of utilize him.
Well, with New England getting ready to come in town, you know, with them not being – they're not the same offense that we're used to seeing from them. What are you seeing from New England coming into Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's been interesting to look at how good the Patriots defense has been and all the attention has been there, but yet offensively they've been grasping at straws. I mean, they signed Antonio Brown because they needed wide receiver production that bad that they were going to take that individual. I'll refrain from saying what I really want to say, but they reach for that. Then they trade for Mohamed Sanu. You know, this is a team that's undefeated, had the number one defense in the league at the time, and yet they're still trying to add production to their offense, which makes you kind of think, you know what, Bill knows that his offense isn't that good. And, you know, looking at their passing game, it really hasn't been. You know, Julian Edelman seems to still be their go-to guy. He's kind of had a tough year. He's had a few drops and a couple of rough fumbles. But I think really it starts up front. And I think that they have been winning games in spite of their left tackle, Marshall Newhouse, a guy that I really like a lot. He's a great guy. He's kind of been a journeyman. But he's been thrust into that left tackle position, and I think their whole mission on offense has been, how do we make up for that? Because Tom Brady can't sit back in 5 and 7 step max protections with that offensive line and with what's going on. So I still think they're trying to figure out who they are. They are not an offense right now that can come from behind. We saw it against Baltimore. When they get down early and all of a sudden they've got to throw the football, they're in trouble.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara, like the city of Philadelphia, Sean, you have something in common. You too have once beaten Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. Do you think Tom Brady is still losing sleep over at least that first loss to the Giants?
I'm sure he's got plenty of other things going for in his life, but I'm sure when he's all said and done, he's going to look back and say, "Man, you know, if it wasn't for the NFC East, you know, he would be in the same conversation as Yogi Berra, who won 10 world championships." But I know that Tom is probably one of the most positive people on the planet. So he doesn't dwell on things; he's always moving forward. And you know, when somebody's mission in life is all about pliability, I don't think he's going to get stuck on anything.
Do you have a loss that you think about post career?
Absolutely.
What's one that keeps coming back?
Losing to the Eagles in the divisional round of playoffs in 2008. You know, people talk about, and they always ask me about our 2007 team that won the Super Bowl. We were a better team in 2008, and we didn't get it done.
Bad matchup. I remember that game. It was a bad matchup for you guys at the time.
Yeah, we had a numbnuts put a hot one through his leg half, you know, after week 11, and you know, that kind of thwarted our offense a little bit. But I remember talking to B. Dawkins, you know, a couple of years ago, and you know, we were just kind of reliving that season, and he said, "Look, when Plaxico was no longer there, you know, we defended you differently. We felt like we could come down and commit to the run." And we weren't scared of deep ball. We felt like we could handle your other receivers one-on-one. So that really freed him up, and that's exactly what happened in that game.
That's incredible.
That's great.
See, Sean, you question why I think you're awesome? You're awesome, man. last one for you. Carson Wentz, we're trying to figure out what we have here. If we have an elite quarterback that's an MVP candidate like he was in 2017, or if we have a guy that's going to struggle if he doesn't have someone to really rely on his wide receiving core, what do you make of Carson Wentz so far as a quarterback?
Well, I think he's a phenomenally talented quarterback. I don't think people appreciate his accuracy and his ability to make some tough throws from the pocket. You know, look, that's what Nick Foles did when he came in and how he was able to do it in the postseason and win in the Super Bowl. That was all from the pocket, and it was big throws. So if you got a quarterback that could hang in there and deliver the ball and hit your guys on target, on stride, and that's the name of the game. And so I like Carson Wentz. I think he's got a great attitude. I think he's a team first guy. He's somebody that, you know, anybody would love to build their franchise around. And to be honest with you, look, he can win a Super Bowl without wide receivers, you know, catching 10 footballs and 150 yards because Zach Ertz has been a nightmare matchup. And I think his relationship with Ertz, especially in the red zone, has been phenomenal. I mean, Zach sets guys up. I mean, I haven't seen a crossover down in Philly like that since AI was down there destroying people. But when Ertz is one-on-one with a safety and he gets them to flip their hips, it's a wrap. And I think he and Wentz still have a great relationship. And I think they can overcome any deficiencies they have at wide receiver.
All right, Sean, that was the last football question for you. Sean O'Hara joining us from the NFL Network. A personal thing I got to get into with you is that my wife and her family want to have pizza for Thanksgiving instead of turkey. What's your ruling there?
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
There's your answer.
No, here's the deal. My wife's family's from Cleveland. So if Sean O'Hara says no pizza on Thanksgiving, I think I win this argument. Thank you, Sean O'Hara.
I mean, I don't think you can't do pizza on Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You
could do pizza any day of the week. Mm-hmm. And you know what? To be honest with you, look, sometimes I'm not feeling the turkey either. You know, like especially if you don't know who's cooking it, it could end up being dry.
That's a good point.
My substitute is a ham. You go with the ham. It's never dry. It's always great. Plus, it makes a great sandwich the next day, which is the best part of Thanksgiving. Nobody wants cold pizza on a Friday. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I'm not opening up a nice bottle of wine on Thanksgiving to wash it down with pizza.
Good point.
Sean O'Hara, you have nothing but brilliance, my friend. You have nothing but brilliance. I really appreciate you coming on with us. And you also just, you know, I think saved my marriage also. So thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with that.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.